Lemon, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. How are you feeling?
They gave me something. My mouth tastes like purple.
Okay.
I saw it, Lemon. My whole life passing right before my eyes. Neil Patterson pitching me the rotating microwave tray. Me personally coining the phrase, what's the upside? Participating in Hands Across America. And all the time I've been on this earth, I have only one regret. I should have worked more.
Regrets, I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention.
Not falling more in love with that line. I'm going to tell you on day three of No Regrets, a TBTL holiday spectacular. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Welcome to our special 2 weeks of holiday shows as we count down some of our most regrettable moments, along with the longest running Cobro of the show, Andrew Walsh, right over there. Hello.
Hey, man.
We have our friend Camaro Kev from the Stack of Dimes podcast.
Hey,
hello.
Guys. Hey, guys. Hey.
Don't you think it would be better if I was the longest-running Cobra of the show? I think Cobra is such a kick-ass nickname. Like, if you're starting a club as a kid with your friends, you all had, like, secret code names. Cobra is one that everybody's going to go for.
Did you have, Camaro, did you have a, did you have any kind of cool nickname as a kid?
I did not, and my first cool nickname is Camaro Kev.
Thanks to my ex-wife.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't have any cool, did you guys have nicknames for your friends or anything like that?
No, I was called Lumpy for a while, but let's not go down that road again. No, I had a
bunch
of
Friday's show.
Yeah, I had a bunch of. I remember trying to build like a kind of a treehouse type of fort type of situation with my friend Donald Mora, and we did a lot of talking about it. Mm-hmm. We kind of started some very early preliminary construction that never went anywhere, but we spent a lot of time, or at least I spent a lot of time thinking about what our code name should be and like this whole secret society
once this gets built.
Yes, and it's just the two of us, and I'm pretty sure I went with literally Lewis from Lewis and Clark,
which is also your middle name,
but my middle name isn't spelled like Lewis and Clark. I really like the way Lewis of Lewis and Clark spelled it, L-E-W-I-S. So my code name was Lewis and he was going to be Cat. They are history's worst nicknames made up by 12-year-old boys.
Over.
Yeah, no, I mean, they could not have been worse.
I had a nickname placed upon me that I actually didn't care that much. I mean, wasn't that into it, but I also wasn't that put off by it, which was the movie Lucas.
Oh, yeah.
Was very popular at a moment in my youth involving, I think that, I've never even seen it, but it's like Corey Haim.
It is Haim.
And Charlie Sheen.
Sure. Yeah.
And somebody nicknames him Leukoplakia.
Oh,
cancer
right.
of the mouth.
Right. That no, I'm very right. familiar with
Indeed.
That.
Indeed.
Actually, Leukoplakia, I don't think, this is what I learned from having to get my, I had Leukoplakia recently taken out of my mouth. I'm telling Kevin because he doesn't know this, which is why I quit smoking. I don't know if you know that.
No, I do know this. Yeah. So I think you explained it to my wife.
But I looked up leukoplakia, and it's not actually cancer of the mouth. It was this early – it's like just like a – it's something that is on the mouth and in the mouth and of the mouth. Mm-hmm. But I think it's non-cancerous usually.
Well, that was lost on the players for the Handy Andy Little League team of the North Central League who nicknamed me Leukoplakia, a.k.a. Cancer of the Mouth.
Did they say, don't worry, it's usually just precancerous?
Yes, exactly. They were like, but...
Is that your rally?
Yeah. They were like, you are going to probably want to block out a few days when you don't have to podcast after you get the surgery.
Right.
But so, yeah, I was like, for a whole baseball season, everybody called me Leukoplakia, which this, I mean, because the theme is regrets this week and next week, this kind of stuff seems to be coming up a lot, but this speaks to, you know, we talk a lot about like privilege now, like, you know, white privilege and male privilege. And I really think, particularly Andrew, talking to you about your childhood, I had non-bullied privilege because I didn't even care that they were calling me Leukoplakia. It just, it didn't like, I gave it no thought. But had I been a kid who was bullied, I would have probably given it a lot of thought.
You but know isn't I mean? That where the snake eats its tail? Because aren't those who are bullied, bullied because they give a certain reaction to bullies? Like, if I was a kid who just was more chill about stuff...
I don't think you should blame yourself for your reaction.
Well, I'm not trying to... Yeah, I'm not trying to Andy blame here. But, I mean, I do think there's a reason why certain kids do get targeted. And it probably has something to do with the way they react.
Probably so. But, again, I mean, that's... I really don't – I mean, yes, but I really don't think that it was your fault that you got bullied or you reacted wrong. But, yeah, I guess probably the reaction a bully gets feeds into if they're going to keep bullying the same person. I just – I look back on it and I'm like, why wasn't I more – why didn't that bother me more? You know, you're calling me this kind of weird name. It's clearly not a compliment. But, like, maybe I just liked that I had a nickname.
Yeah.
Even if it was a shitty one.
Right.
It's a fun word to say.
Yeah.
Leukoplakia.
Yeah.
I don't know why, right?
I feel like there's somebody who used to, into my adult life, I'm trying to remember who, there was somebody who would still call me that. There's a famous story that I've told many, many times on this show about the Seahawk quarterback Dave Craig, whose nickname was Mudbone, graduate of Milton College in Wisconsin, which is now defunct. He hated the nickname Mudbone.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, good God.
And so he called. I was listening when he called up Sportsline with Wayne Cody on Cairo, 7 to 10.
The Codes.
Hey, everybody. Codes here. And he called up Wayne Cody and he said, like, hey, I don't want my nickname to be Mudbone anymore. I want my new nickname to be Cobra.
Oh, Cobra.
No joke.
There you go.
And they laughed and they said, okay, Mudbone.
Right. Yeah.
You don't, by the way, that's the other thing about nicknames. You don't get to choose
no.
them.
No, you do
you
not.
You have to have them given to you, right? Mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah.
I was, the other thing that I was, and by the way, Camaro, we're going to get your regret here coming up. But I really, really wanted to change my name when I was a kid. I thought Luke was just a kind of a dumb name.
Really?
Which is weird because it was in Star Wars.
Oh, it's such a cool name.
You would, yeah. And particularly with the popularity of Star Wars, you think I would have been jazzed about it. But
no one ever likes their name.
Exactly. And I wanted, my middle name's Christian, and I wanted to be Christian. But speaking of baseball, I had gotten onto this little all-star baseball team where you got your own jacket with your name on it. And they just put Luke on there because that, you know, and I was like, well, I got to grow out of this jacket and then I'm going hard with Christian. And then by the time I grew out of the jacket, the phase had passed.
And Luke is such, I mean, listen, we have listeners named Luke and we have listeners named Christian. So I don't mean to make statements that's going to hurt anybody's feelings. But Luke is a better name than Christian, right?
Like, I think so. Yeah.
Well, I think I knew a cool kid named Christian. And you know what I mean? Like, in fact, this is what that cool kid, this is how cool that guy was. I went to the swimming pool, like the community swimming pool, like on a Saturday. That was like a big thing. It was $1. So I'd like get my allowance was $2. And I would use $1 to get to go swimming. And then I would save the other $1 for some kind of post-swimming treat from the vending machine.
Man.
And I had that, the second $1, I had it in my wallet. And I put my wallet in, like, I didn't lock the locker. I didn't have a lock. I didn't have money for it. And I remember I was telling this guy, Christian, this cool guy, and this other dude, I think his name might have been Todd. I was telling them how excited I was, I think, to go to Baskin-Robbins and get an ice cream cone across the street or something. And I'm telling them as I'm putting the $1 into the wallet, into the locker.
They're like, watching you.
They're watching me. And I'm, like, telling them how excited I am for what I'm going to use this $1 on after the swim. And then... surprisingly, when I get done with the swim, there's no $1 in the wallet.
Huh.
Like, I mean,
Todd did it, by the way.
It's a mystery for the ages. I think Todd and Christian were in cahoots. And you know what I remember?
Todd's and Scott's. Nothing good to come from those guys.
Dude, I remember talking to this is I'm not even kidding you. This is really how it went down. I look in my wallet, my $1's gone. I'm super bummed. I come out. I see Todd. He's eating a bag of Funyuns. And I'm like, my $1's gone. He's like, oh, no idea what happened to that. As he's
Science may never know.
As he's eating a bag of Funyuns he just got from the vending machine.
Oh,
and in my
God.
Mind, I was like, yeah, I guess we'll never know. By the way, I had to do a quick check. Yes, Dave Craig's nickname really was Mudbone.
And I used to
not hallucinate that.
Quick check. None of our donors of the day are named Scott or Todd, so you got off
oh
easy
my
this
God,
time.
I did.
But one is named Cobra, which is very strange. All right, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll get into Camaro Kev's regert. Don't go anywhere. You've always been listening to this podcast.
This is, oh man, I found this playlist when I was cleaning the dishes on Thanksgiving. I just wanted to, I didn't know what I wanted to listen to, and they were talking about Woody Allen films in the other room. So on Spotify, I just found this, you know, like 50 song playlist of music that appears in Woody Allen, and it was perfect. But Genevieve hates this shit.
Really?
So much,
I actually like this kind of music a lot, but I can't not think of The Shining. Like, your family didn't want to listen to the podcast, so we had to correct them.
One time I was listening to the Swing Years or something on the bathroom radio, and they would play, you know, music like this, the old radio show on KOW. And I remember, I don't know why I thought it was so funny, but I left the radio on, and then Genevieve took a shower and didn't change the channel or something. And then she came out of the bathroom like, yeah, you enjoying the Swing Years? She's like, no, I feel like I'm showering in the jazz age. The way she said it earnestly really got me.
I my memory of this kind of music is very much associated with and this isn't a great story, but hey, whatever. It's the week for talking about our regrets. I used to, you know, when I worked at the public radio station, I would go in really late at night. You know, we had this whole shelf of books that had been sent to the radio station for, like, the purposes of reviewing, you know, like, hey, so-and-so wrote a book. Here's the book. Do you want to interview them?
Yeah. But anybody who works at a radio station, that's right. Like a constant.
And you can sell those books. Some of them you can, like, you could, because they're new enough, you can take them to a used bookstore and sell them and make some dough. And I was just so friggin' broke all the time that I would go into the radio station really late at night. Because what happened was after people had read them, a lot of those books would end up on this free shelf. The idea is that you might, like, once in a month see a book you liked and then just, oh, I'll read that.
Yeah. Take it home with you. But the thing is, the radio stations get so many, and the majority of them don't even make it to the radio. They're rejected out of hand. So I'm just saying this, Luke, because I know all three of us in the room have been in that the stage of our lives where we take these books and we take them and we sell them.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not, at least where I worked, it wasn't really frowned upon because right. It's always the lowest earning people, the interns yes. or the people who had just started, and they're encouraged to go take these books. And
well, yeah. I didn't have any, I don't feel any, I didn't feel any moral obligation to the publishers. It was just everybody else at the radio station because right. I would come in and clean that mother effer out. Uh-huh. Like, it would go from like, oh, we there's like this whole huge shelf full of these interesting books that are for everybody to enjoy, to Luke with like a satchel over his shoulder, like a cartoon burglar robber person coming into KUOW in the dead middle of the night, possibly having driven there in the station car, which was called the Unit, which I also would just use randomly to like take my kid places. It was like a Plymouth Horizon. It said property of the University of Washington on the side of it. And when one of my shitty cars I had died, I literally had no way to get around. And so I would, in the middle of the night, steal the station car and use it and bring it back. I mean, it was so... But anyway, the Shining music would be playing, and I always thought I was going to come around a corner and see those twins in this completely empty, dark radio station with scary jazz music
because they're playing the Swing Years, but it's on tape.
It's on tape, yeah, like maybe, yeah, right. And maybe it's like they
empty building with this music
exactly.
Going on.
And that was at the University of Washington communications building, so it was actually really old and like kind of run down and scary. Like it wasn't the nice new place they're at now.
My takeaway from that story is apparently there was a time in the 90s in Seattle where everything and everybody was either nicknamed the Unit or the Bone in some way or another. Your car was the Unit. You had Randy Johnson was the Unit, right? Is that
yeah,
right?
The big unit.
Yeah,
the Bone.
Yep.
Mud Bone.
The story that you were just talking like, God, what was wrong with you guys?
Tell them Bones.
Out in Ohio, we were all just Cat and Lewis, like normal guys.
Exactly. All right, Camaro. You've sat through Cat and Lewis's regrets. What do you got for us?
This one came right to me, but I almost didn't want to use it because it's too, it almost is promoting the podcast that I do.
Stack of Dimes.
Yeah. And so I was like, that's really lame, but I'm just being honest that this is something that
yes,
I really regret. We did a show early on that was, It was like crazy girlfriend stories. We did an entire show on it, which I didn't have many girlfriends, so it's very easy to figure out who I was talking about in this whole thing, even though we didn't use any real names or anything like that. And I haven't listened back to it when it was released, but I think back often about like, man, I really shouldn't have put that out there.
Because you told a bunch of personal stuff?
Yeah, and obviously I was doing things for laughs, but also probably it was cathartic in some way to talk about this and get this stuff out there. And I do the show with John, JD, and he shared his stories, but I'm almost certain she listened to it.
But did not ever indicate to you? Because if this was about the person I assume it was about,
mm-hmm.
that person doesn't seem like they would be shy about like hitting you up if they listened to it and they were mad. Wouldn't they have been like, why the hell did you do that?
Yeah, I would think so, although it was far enough removed from where I don't think it's hard to explain. So I dated this girl for like a year and a half or whatever, and we had trials and tribulations like everyone does, and it ran its course. She wanted to keep the line of communication open, and I always was just like, I gotta cut this off, because it was just like I couldn't deal with it anymore. And so she would send me like emails on my birthday for a couple of years after, and I would just delete them. I wouldn't even read them.
You're like Andrew, like, not opening a present.
Exactly, your cards. And I just was like, I don't want that communication open, because I know if I respond, then it's going to be full on again. And I just didn't. And I started dating Anita at the time and all that stuff. And so.
Wait, so the story was not about Anita.
And
also, don't use her name. It's such a giveaway. Yeah. By the way, does Anita listen to SOD?
I mean, come on. I mean, no. It's like, do any of our significant others really listen?
My wife has started listening to the show, which is. I actually kind of take it as a compliment. I think part of it's because she's on the show a fair amount now, but also part of it, I guess, is because, you know, she can tolerate an extra hour of my jabbering. But I do think, and this is maybe to some degree woven into the larger point, Camaro, of this whole thing, we do these little podcasts and we're mostly talking about our lives, and it's like you want to be honest and you want to like tell hopefully funny stories or interesting stories, but I'm in constant worry that the people I'm talking about are going to hear
right
what I'm talking about. And I'm trying to think if it's ever happened where somebody has like come at us, like send us an email, like, oh, I was really hurt by you saying that about me. I don't think it's, amazingly, 2,541 episodes.
And no one's
two episodes in. Yeah. I don't think it's happened yet. Not that people I'm not saying people haven't heard stuff. I'm saying nobody's emailed me and been like, I was super hurt when you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they did and I've forgotten it. And that's actually worse.
Yeah. I got an email. I'm looking for it here. I can't find it, so I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was very cryptic. It was from a TBTL listener who sent me, I believe, an email that said, you should really start listening to the Grapes of Rad. This is the show that Genevieve does. You should start listening to it, especially here, and gave me a time code.
Really?
And much like those gifts that sat on my kitchen table, that's a package I don't want to open. I don't know what happened at that time code on Genevieve's podcast. Well, don't you feel like,
I mean, this is also, there's one of two ways to sort of approach life. I want less information.
Oh yeah, let's.
Oh my God! Here, look at this. Jesus Christ! That was like part Kramer, part, but also kind of like cool M. Night Shyamalan twist. Genevieve just materialized in the room.
Also, I'll tell you what that's about.
Do you remember?
I know.
I had asked you about it yesterday, and you didn't know.
No, I knew.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Vives, please.
Oh, you didn't know you were lying to me yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, please share. Please share.
Okay, so good. I have been lying to you.
Just got good.
So I came home the night that after we recorded that, and I gave you a box. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
And the box was all closed up, and you opened it up, and there was a little gift from a listener in it.
Anne.
And it was like a little tiny Oscar Mayer Wiener mobile plastic toy. Well, when I got that at Cairo, I was there to record Grapes, and I was like we were just joking around in the studio, and I had this box, and it said Glide Right on it. So we were like making a bunch of like, oh, maybe it's a sex toy joke.
Glide Right?
Yeah, it sounded like a sex toy company to me. So we were like, oh, why don't we open it and see what's in it, and then I'll just seal it back up. Andrew never listens to grapes. And so we opened it, saw what was in it, sealed it all back up. And I told all the listeners, like, I know there's a bunch of crossover listeners. Don't tell Andrew. So I want to know who told you to go listen.
Listen, you know what? Snitches get stitches.
Yeah.
And by the way, our listeners, peace and love, are almost uniformly snitches. We have started to do the same thing, Veebs, where we actively tell the listeners, please do not forward this to like the person we're talking about now. And they always do.
I had a strong feeling somebody might. I didn't think it would really bother you.
Have you found
it bothers me? I can't find who it is. I'll find this person and I'll let them know. That's nowhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be. Especially when you started talking about the Astroglide.
But I think it's interesting that your approach, Andrew, which would have been my approach too, if Carrie had a podcast and somebody was like, you really should hear what she said about you, this, I would actively not listen to it.
I would do the same thing.
Because like I don't want to know what she says
to
really anyone about me when I'm not around, because I assume it's terrible.
I should say, I am assuming that's the clip that person is talking about. I didn't look at the time code they sent, but that would be the obvious thing.
Well, what else have you said about me? Let's just list it all right now.
I mean, I do talk about you, but nothing that I wouldn't say to your face.
That doesn't rule anything out. Do you want to join us? I have an extra mic if you want to just grab a chair.
No, I was hearing what you were saying, so I thought I would come in and clear up the mystery.
Okay.
Thank you, Genevieve. Thank you for creating probably, arguably, the one good moment of this 2 weeks of content with your surprise appearance. I'm not trying to harp on this too much, but for somebody who I'm generally curious about the world and the universe, I am, as a protection mechanism, I'm deeply incurious about the kinds of things that people are saying about me when I'm not around, because I assume they're saying what they really think, which I assume is really bad. Like,
well, no good comes of it either way. If you're, you know what I mean? I just don't want to know. I don't care.
Like, if I'm on a conference call and nobody knows I'm on the call yet, I want to be like, hey, everybody, I'm on this call. Like, right. I don't want anyone talk. I don't want to overhear. I assume everybody is saying mean things about me. I just don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to be in the position of accidentally saying what they really think about me to the point where it's embarrassing to them.
It's almost like what we were talking about, walking in on someone in the bathroom. Like, who would you rather be? The person who's walked in the bathroom, let's just say by a stranger, or the person who's doing the walking in? And while it could be really awful, depending on what you're doing in there and how involved it is, it could be really awful if you're the person who's walked in on. But I think in most average cases, it's better to be the person who's walked in on, because you are the quote unquote victim in this case.
Yeah,
and it
wasn't
your action that led to this, right? Isn't it kind of similar to that? Like, you don't want, if somebody was saying shit about you and you accidentally heard it, Luke, it would make those people feel horrible.
Yes. Yeah.
I think.
Exactly. And so I want to try to just like, I want to try to make sure that situation isn't happening. But I also assume it's happening all the time. Out of my range. Like, I assume, you know, I love my wife very much. She is, as we say, my person. But I assume that most of her conversations about me with her friends are how much I suck. Like, and I don't even want to, I don't want any part of that. Like, if a text comes up on her phone, I avert my eyes.
Yeah,
I actively look the other way, because I don't want it to be her friend being like, huh, that's what I was thinking about his breath. Like, I just don't want to know.
They call him Luca Placchia for a reason.
I'm actually a little worried about that, because, you know, I don't know when people actually hear this on Wednesday, the 27th of December. I don't know where I'll be in the process, but, you know, I'm on this grind, and when you don't eat a lot of carbs, you go into this thing called ketosis, you know, and it's like your body starts.
You can get hella butthole breath with that sort of situation.
Oh. So I told Carrie, I was like, if I start to get this ketosis breath, you got to let me know.
The lack of carbs leads to bad breath,
among other things.
Yeah. When your body goes into ketosis, that's what it's called, right?
Right. Keto.
You're burning ketos or whatever it is, or whatever the. When it goes into it,
ketogens or something,
you can get bad smelling breath. Yeah,
because when you're in ketosis, it's basically like your body starts prioritizing fat, I think, as a thing it's using for fuel. And so, you know, you lose weight, but there's also other weird kind of unexpected side effects, including ketosis. I've been spending a lot of time interneting like low carb situations. Like Camaro and I hit up the B Dubs last night to watch a variety of MMA and boxing. Yeah.
And the wing place.
The wing place, actually decent for keto. But then you go, you start to go like, where else was I? Well, when I was going to Five Guys, I wanted to find out if I can get like them to do the burger with no bun. And I some website, there's like Reddit, there's whole subreddits about basically listing all the places where you can like low carb hack the menu. But then you get into this weird world, which I wrote a Medium fire tweet about yesterday, where some of these websites are like about how you can't poop when you're on keto. And I wrote like the dark web is real. I was just there. Like, there's whole websites dedicated to people having problems pooping because of ketosis.
Seriously?
It has not proven to be the case in my life, but I guess it's somebody decided to dedicate an entire blog entry to it. So I don't really have a power out for that other than to say, I assume my wife is talking about my ketosis breath with her friends. I just don't want to hear it.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Let's go. No. Yeah. Let's go back to your regret.
Yeah. I mean, at the time when I did the show and, I didn't feel that I said anything very harsh, and I had always wondered what it would be like if I ever came across this person.
Oh, right.
And you know how you play that in your mind.
Yeah.
And sometimes my whole, I would say maybe like probably 5 years after we did this show, I bumped into her. And this is why I think that she listened, because of our interaction. Hmm. But
she was trying really hard to not be crazy when you talked to her.
I'll explain all of this. So, so in my head, I always thought if I bump into her, it's going to be awkward. I'll probably be with Anita, and I'll, you know, but I still like the person. I have fond memories of the person. And so I think it will be pretty, you know, like it'll be like, oh, it's great seeing you, you know. So fast forward, I'm at Target, Northgate Target, walking through the store. And this has happened to me a million times where I see someone out of the corner of my eye and I go, like, oh, that's her. And it's like, oh, thank God it's not. And this was one of those times, and I'm walking, I'm carrying cleaning products. We're going to clean our place while we're moving out. She's walking with another person, and I see her and I go, that's her. No, you do this all. No, it is her this time, right? And I come up to her and I go, hey. Like, this is just my natural reaction. I didn't have any time to think. I go, hey, how are you? And she goes, fine. And just turns and walks the other way.
Wow.
Like, walks past me. And I go, and then I was like, well, I guess that's how that went.
At least you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. And then I was thinking, she heard that show.
Yeah. Or there's a bunch of things she doesn't like about you.
Well, or that, yeah.
but she's got her own podcast about you, and she's worried you heard it, so she was trying to just keep the whole...
She did have a live journal thing.
Journal.
Wow. Yeah, and I would go on there, because I wanted to see how she was doing.
Sure.
And we're all crazy stalkers in some way, especially when the internet started. It was like, this is crazy. And she was writing the thing, and she didn't write much about me, but, you know, she would put things in there. I was like, that's clearly me or whatever, mm-hmm. I was like, you know, of course she's going to have things to say about how things went down or whatever. But here's the other thing. So our shows got wiped out, all of our old shows. They're not really out there anymore because we had kind of a hacker situation.
That's so weird.
And so this show is no longer, like, you can't just go to our website and listen to it. All of our old shows are gone, but we've been slowly... I go back and we do like a thing called memory lane now, where we'll listen to the show really quickly and then we'll do an intro and go, this was episode whatever, and here's what we talked about, and then we'll kind of make fun of whatever, and then we'll play the episode. I don't know if I should put that show back out
there.
It's a tough question.
You haven't gone back and listened to it yet.
Yeah, and I don't know when it's going to come into play here. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many shows in it is. Because my notes, I just have like all of our shows numbered, mm-hmm. and I don't know what show's coming up next. There's no notes or anything, so I'll listen to it or whatever. And I'm just thinking, I probably shouldn't put that back out there.
Huh.
But I don't like editing things either. I don't like going back. Like, if I said something stupid on the show,
let me
I'm
ask
keeping
you
it
this.
In there.
Did the person really do the things that you described in the show?
I don't even know what it was. Now, that's the other thing. I haven't gone back and listened, and I only assume, like, man, I wonder what I said, because I don't go back and listen. So I don't know.
You're going to have to. I mean, you're going to go back and listen and make the decision. I mean, it sounds like if it's caused this much drama in a certain way, that might be one of the best memory lanes.
Right. Because
it'll have a great intro. You can explain this.
That's a good point.
You could even MST3K it, maybe. Yeah. Like, if you want to, like, kind of play it, but, like, you guys jump in and be like, all right, I want to set the record straight on this
right.
One. Pause the tape for a second.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, that does sound like good content, particularly with all the buildup.
Yeah.
And also, like, you don't name the person.
Yeah, I mean, it's
there's
it's
no way
clear.
Anyone knows.
No. Yeah, no one listening. I mean, if they know me, there's no doubt they know who it is. I mean, you know right away who it is.
Sure. I think I was in some bizarre way.
Yeah.
Part of that relationship
the coming together. Yeah.
It involved a pizza joint, I think, if memory serves. Random run-in at a pizza joint. That whole topic of kind of planning out in your mind what it's going to be like when you run into your ex is a weird one to me. When I was getting divorced, and then when I got divorced, for years I had this fantasy that my ex was going to walk by my apartment in New York and the lights were going to be on and she was going to look in and it was going to be really well decorated and super clean and she was going to be like kicking herself over letting me get away. Like I lived my life for probably a good 1 to 2 years in a constant state of trying to make myself look and be presentable in case I ran into her, which was insane for a few reasons. She didn't live in New York. She lived in LA. My apartment was on the second floor and faced a wall. Like you couldn't see it from the street. Like this was not a real thing that could happen,
but it played out in your
my
head.
Mind. I would clean the apartment. So in case she levitated by, because it was not at street level, in case she levitated by in a back alley, essentially, she would look in and she would see that I was doing great.
So she's murdered in an alley. Her spirit is floating up to heaven. Yeah. As it floats up, she says, I have one regret.
Exactly. And that I said I was going to wait a couple more days to talk about the murders in my regret show, but I guess Andrew kind of spoiled that for everybody. Camaro Kev, rate your regret.
Seven. Yeah, I think it's just seven for me. That's what just popped in my head earlier.
Yeah. You know, I think, by the way, obviously when that stack of dimes comes back up, you should listen to it just to see. But I think if it's going to bug you and if you feel like it was a little disrespectful, just don't play it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't put it back out there if it's going
to
eat you up.
We've really become, I think, much. This is due to Andrew's influence, I think, in a positive way. We've started editing the show more than we used to because it's like, oh, if we said something dumb or something that was mean or we didn't think it through, why leave it in there? It's this idea of like, well, we just don't want to edit. But it's like, if you could take something out or omit something that you kind of don't feel great about, why not?
I know. Mm-hmm. That's true.
So
I'm cutting out Genevieve walking in here in this show.
Seriously?
You know, we did many shows later, we did another show kind of similar to that where we had a person in our life that we were both roommates with who did some shady things, and we did a whole show.
I ran into somebody who works with that person, and I blew that person's spot up with this person.
I would love to hear this. I can't wait to hear this, actually. But we did this whole show, and we were getting ready to release it, and I think it was JD who goes, I don't think we should. And that was more for us. He was like, clearly that was us working through some stuff and just putting that negative stuff out there. So at some point we did self-censor that one. We never put it out there or whatever. And I kind of wish I would have played that.
You really wish that one is
play that one instead.
Yeah, right.
Honestly,
a lost episode.
Yeah. Swap it out.
Yeah, right. No, I wish I would have been mature enough to have thought of that with the show that I did on my ex or exes. So there you go.
All right, a 7.
I think a 7 about. Maybe a 6.5. Maybe a 6.5.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it here. This is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. you talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Okay, we need to thank some donors of the day before we get out of here. I kind of liked what happened yesterday, Walsh, where we were like kind of playing the
outro,
the
music?
Get out music.
All right, I have an idea for our get out music.
Nice.
Or unless you were,
nope.
Did I cut you off?
Nope.
Did you have an idea?
Nope.
Remember our friends, the Summer Rays? Are they our friends? I feel like I heard about them on TBTL, but I can't remember. Were they listeners? Were they from Cleveland? Or no, maybe Addie just put you onto the Summer
that
Rays.
That sounds possible.
For some reason, I feel like they were excited to know a podcast was talking about them. I might be making that completely up, but either way.
I didn't do it. I never did it.
What? There we go. This is a song called Girlfriend by the Summer Rays that has an interesting intro that I didn't remember at all.
Nice. This is the perfect time to thank our donors of the day. I'm talking, of course, about Chris Aquino of Portland, Oregon, Diana Ecker of Agora Hills, California, Sean Heher of St. James, New York, and Will Manuel of Madison, Mississippi. That's some primo distribution, Walsh. We're talking Oregon. We're talking California. We're talking New York State. We're talking Mississippi.
We got the South there. That's great. We are. I don't know where our Midwestern listeners are. I would have traded one of those West Coasters for a Midwesterner. I'm sorry. I'm just talking. I appreciate everybody who gives, but I also feel like I
can
can't
we get
lie
some
to
Ohio
you.
Up in this?
Yeah, right. Maybe.
Well,
Minnesota.
I stand by these. I don't blame these listeners for their geographic distribution, and I do appreciate that they're making this episode of the show possible. Episode 2541 in a collector series. This is just because Chris, Diana, Sean, and Will supported TBTL during this year's TBTL-a-thon, and we thank you so much. We would not be here without you. So thanks for making this whole thing possible. That's going to do it for today's program. We will be right back here tomorrow with another regret from me involving being very inebriated and $7,000.
Okay.
That's tomorrow's regret. Something I have never talked, I don't think, specifically about on the show because I feel like it's gonna upset the listeners.
It's gonna upset me?
It's gonna legit upset the listeners.
Ooh. Okay.
So
well, that's what you call a forward promotion.
How's that for a forward promotion?
I'm so glad I'm gonna be here.
It's coming up tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.